2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 5. And finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and unto and into the patient waiting for Christ.
Well, good evening, everyone. We're so thankful to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunities that we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, and to open up His Word and study it together. We've been going through 2 Thessalonians, and I'm even going to come out with one more lesson for this month out of 2 Thessalonians, based off the rest of this chapter, really. But we're going to look at these first five verses, and really, when I read these first five verses, you know, I think we have different thoughts that come to our minds when we read different passages, but one that kind of came to my mind as I was reading this was different areas where Paul is trusting God, and he's really encouraging the church at Thessalonica to trust God in these five verses here to start chapter 3. You know, there is a connection that sometimes I think that people miss, is that there is a connection between trust and faith. Is that a lot of things that we do in the Christian life are based off faith, but our faith is very closely connected to trust. Many times people may even say that they're interchangeable. But our trust in God is so very important, and I would suggest that there's a line there where if we don't trust, it really can mean disaster. And I think Paul understands that for himself. I think he understands that for the church at Thessalonica. You know, that line between endurance and giving up. You think about that for a second. The line between endurance and giving up. Part of the Christian life is endurance. You know, fighting the good fight, running the race, having endurance, right? There's a thin line sometimes between endurance and giving up. And I think sometimes what makes a difference is trust. You know, there's a thin line between obedience and disobedience. And you know what that thin line is that separates those two many times? It's trust. I trust you, so I'm going to do this. If I don't trust you as much, guess what? I might not do it. Obedience, disobedience, a thin line sometimes when it comes to trust. I think it grows. Between stagnation and growth, I think many times the thin separation is trust. You know, do we trust God? I believe it's still in our currency. In God we trust. You know, if I remember correctly, I think that is from just learning in school and parent, I think that popped up in the 1950s under President Eisenhower, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. But 1950s, they kind of started making that more of a common sense, and God we trust, and started putting it on the currency. Are we a nation that really believes that? And God we trust, putting it on our currency? But perhaps more important than a nation, as an individual Christian, as Paul, as we look at Paul, as we look at the congregation at Thessalonica, do they trust God? Or do we trust other things more than we trust God? Do we trust ourselves more than we trust God? Do we trust our minds more than we trust God? Do we trust our gut more than we trust God? Do we trust earthly wisdom more than we trust God? Do we trust technology more than we trust God? Do we trust our feelings more than we trust God? Do we trust doctors more than we trust God? Do we trust the government more than we trust God? Do we trust God? I think when he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, these first five verses, although when I read them, I almost see Paul, he doesn't really directly say that word, but I think that's really what he's trying to get at. Is do you trust God in hard times? Do you trust God when it comes to obedience? Do you trust God when it comes to growth? I think it's an underlying message in these five verses, and that's what I want to look at. Is do we trust God? The first thing I'd like to look at and consider is do we trust God in hard times. Let's look at those first three verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, Paul is saying, you know, pray for me. But he knows what the church at Thessalonica has been going through, different persecutions on different levels. In fact, when we look at the second letter, it's all about faith, really, when I look at it. He kind of starts out and says, you know you have a good faith, and here are some areas that you need to consider and why you're considered faithful. And then in chapter 2, he really looks at the idea of falling away. In chapter 3 here, I think he's kind of dealing with this underlying idea. Do we trust God when we go through life? He says, pray for us. And what is really, he says that you may be delivered from the wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Do we trust that God will be with us through the hard times? Because I think that's almost what Paul's getting at. I am going to go through hard times. You are going to go through hard times. Do you trust God to get through those hard times? And I think he is certainly looking to them for support, but certainly I think there's a message there that he's trying to encourage them. You know, as we live the Christian life, we're going to go through some hard times. The question is will we trust God through those hard times? Well, a Christian who trusts God through hard times, what might they do? How might they conduct themselves? Might we pray? Certainly I think about that. Christians go through hard times. Certainly Paul went through some hard times. He records one of those in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. He says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from the evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. We all go through hard times. The Apostle Paul went through all kinds of hard times. He was persecuted. And in fact, in this case, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it always hits me so hard because Paul, what is he almost saying? He's like, I've been left alone. I've been left alone to preach the gospel. Everybody left. Everyone forsook me. This was a hard time for Paul, no doubt. But who stood with him? Who kind of almost kept him going? He said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Do we trust God to be with us through the hard times of life? Do we turn to God in the hard times of life? Do we turn to God when we face death? Do we turn to God when we face disease? Do we turn to God when we face disaster? Do we turn to God when we feel alone? See, he's writing to them and he says, pray for us. But Paul already knows he's going to go through hardship. He says that we might be delivered from the wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you. He will guard you against the evil one. Do you trust God to be with you, to get you through the hard times? Do we trust God enough to pray? You know, you think about that. You don't trust God. Do you pray? You know, we think about hard times, we think about things that we go through in life, and when we think about we go through hard times, how could we show that we trust God? Would prayer not be one of those? Because when you trust God, you believe that he can help and he can assist, he can strengthen, he can be with you, he can support, he can help in your time of need. He can stand by you when everyone else forsakes you. He can strengthen you when you feel weak. You know, prayer is powerful, but do we trust God in the times that are hard? You know, trust makes a difference in the way that we live our life. I think trust made a difference in the Apostle Paul's life. Why was he able to go through all these things and endure all this hardship? Because he trusted God. He trusted his promises. He trusted the support system which he had. Even in the moments where he felt that he was alone, he knew that God was there. He trusted God. Do we pray to God with a fervent heart? Or do we just go through the motions? Because I believe when we trust God, we know that God will be there to support us and strengthen us. We will take our issues, our struggles, and our problems to God. Do we take those to God? Or do we not trust God enough to give him those issues? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we're anxious, do we go to God in prayer? When we're going through struggles, when we're going through problems, do we go to God in prayer? Perhaps we don't take them to God in prayer because we don't trust God. Do you trust God enough to get you through the hard time? Do you trust God to go to Him in prayer? Perhaps a lot of people don't take their things to God in prayer because they don't trust God. They don't think He's there. They don't think He's going to offer any assistance or aid. How could that be said to such a God, the God, the creator of the universe, the God that cares for us, who tells us to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us? God is there for us in the hard times. The question is do we trust that He's there? Will we take those things to God in prayer? Prayer is powerful. We think of James chapter 5 and verse 16, where it tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God told you to cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You know that God is waiting to hear from you. But how many times do we not call? You know, you think about that. It's almost like God is waiting by the phone, if you will. He's waiting by the phone. He knows you're having a hard time. He knows you're going through struggles. He knows you're going through these things. And He's just waiting for you to call. But you won't pick up the phone. How many people do we have in our lives that would immediately stop whatever they're doing to come and help us? I'm talking on the physical plane of life. There's people that we know, if you pick up that phone, we know they're coming to help us in whatever way we need. And yet God is there in our lives. He's there for the hard times, but we won't pick up the phone and call. We won't cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. We won't take our anxieties and the stresses of life to Him. Is it perhaps that we don't trust God? Paul is saying, I trust God. He says, pray for me. And he says, I'm going to go through hard times, and I want you to pray. God is there to support us. He says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. God is there. He will help and support us. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. God's ears are open to those that are righteous. But how many times do the righteous not go to God in prayer? Do we trust God in the hard times of life? God is faithful, is He not? He's the friend that is always there. He's the friend that will always answer the call. He's the friend that will drop everything and assist. But yet we won't make the call. When was your last call to the Lord? When was your last call to the Lord? Do you trust Him enough to give Him a call in terms of the avenue of prayer which He has given us? God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, He says that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Certainly a quotation of the past. Do we trust God? When the hard times come into our lives, how would a Christian respond? Certainly there's a lot of ways we can respond, but I think one of those would be prayer. A Christian that trusts God, when the hard times come, seeks God in prayer. Isn't that what Paul's doing here? He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. That the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as it happened among you, and that we may be delivered from the wicked. He knows what's going to happen. He knows He's going to go through hard times. He knows it's going to happen. And He says, you know what? I know those times are coming. You know what we need? We need prayer. We need to trust God enough that He will. What does it say in verse 3? But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. God can help. God can assist. But do we make the call for His help? In God we trust. Do we trust God in the hard times? Number 2 is, do we trust God when it comes to our obedience? Let's look at verse 4. So He talks about praying for Him. He talks about these evil people that are coming after Him. But He says He knows that God is going to be faithful and He's going to be there to help and support. But verse 4, He says, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. says, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Are doing and will do what's commanded. What do we call that? We call that obedience. Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says he has confidence in the Lord that the church in Thessalonica is going to do what? They're going to be obedient. He says you are doing, and he says I have confidence that you will do what's commanded. What is he saying? I have confidence that you will be obedient. You know what it takes for us to be obedient, does it not? Particularly the way that God sets it up. Because when God sets up obedience, a lot of times in our lives, what he does is, on the other, before we try to get to obedience, he sets right there as a wall, a test of our obedience. And those tests don't make a whole lot of sense. On the physical plane of life, we can understand that we can find symbolism, and we can certainly find what the Bible says about certain topics, but really, when we try to work it out in our physical minds, it don't make a whole lot of sense. Probably the best example, or examples we could go to is Hebrews chapter 11. We go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and have these great pillars of faith, and they're going to be doing things that don't make a whole lot of earthly sense. But we understand that they have faith, and that's really what it says in Hebrews, that you go down through Hebrews chapter 11 there, and we have Abel. And it's talking about Abel, verse 4 in chapter 11, says, by faith offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Through which he was commended as righteous, God commanding him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. It begins with Abel. And we remember that story from Genesis. We got Cain and Abel, and one offers an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, and one doesn't offer an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Well, how did he know? It says by faith Abel knew what to offer the Lord. How did he know? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abel must have heard at some point from God what God wanted as a sacrifice, and he did it. You get today to offer a sacrifice to God. What are you going to choose? What do you mean by that, Kyle? The religious world, all around the United States, all around the world, a lot of times that's what they do. They say, I'm going to decide today how I'm going to worship God. They don't look to the Bible. But really, you ask yourself that question, how are you going to worship God? You're just going to pick something up and just start worshiping God? I'm going to pick up this and worship God. I'm going to pick up this and worship God. We're not going to look at God's word at all and see what he says? By faith, Abel offered that sacrifice. He heard what God said and he did it. How else will we know how to worship God in an appropriate manner if he did not tell us how to worship him? By faith. And when he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, he says, I know you're being obedient and will be obedient. Why? Because underlying faith, we know that there's trust. The church at Thessalonica trusts God. They want to do what he says. I think of Luke chapter 6, verses 46 and 47. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you who he's like. And it goes into the discussion of the man who built his house on the rock. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? The church at Thessalonica, it looks like Paul, as he's writing to him, he's like, I know that you guys are solid. You trust God. What God tells you to do, you will do. But you know that there's a thin line between obedience and disobedience, and sometimes it lies with trust. Noah trusted God, so he built the ark. Abel trusted God, so he offered the sacrifice which God told him to offer. Abraham trusted God, so he left his home and did those things which God wanted him to do. Trust has a big connecting factor to faith. And although that word is not used there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, isn't that what he's saying to the church at Thessalonica? He says, you have and you will do what's been commanded. Why? Because they trust God. Trust causes us to obey. And really, I think that's the example that Jesus set. Is that Jesus trusted God, and he trusted God, so he obeyed. He did trust God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey. Do you trust God to do the things which he wants you to do? Will you trust God through the hard times? Will you trust God on those things that he commands us to do as we go throughout this life? Have you ever thought that your faith could fail? You know, people try to dissect faith, and certainly you have to think about it. You know, faith comes by hearing made by the Word of God. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, those people heard what God said and they did it. Can our faith fail? Well, I think our faith can fail, perhaps, when we hear what God says and we don't do it. And think of some situations. There are some times in our life where we can hear what God says but not do it. What would our problem be? It might be trust. Why is the church organized in that way? You know, why do we have elders? Why do we have deacons? You know what I mean? And we hear, we can read, we can open our Bibles, we can read about elders and deacons, we can read about that, right? Do we want to follow through? Sometimes people don't follow through because they don't trust God. Sometimes congregations, Lord's people, they don't follow through because they don't trust God. We look at the church at Thessalonica and we read that verse again. It says, verse 4, it says, "And we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will do the things that we command." Why? Because they trust God. Do you trust God? Do you trust God when it comes to areas of obedience? Our faith can fail. And I think our faith sometimes fails when we don't trust what God has said. And we could see how faith would fail with all those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 that didn't trust God. If Noah said, "You know what, God, I don't really trust what you say about this flood coming, I'm not going to do it." If Abel said, "You know what, God, I don't really trust what you're saying about an acceptable sacrifice, I'm not going to do it. I don't trust you, God, so I'm not going to do that which you said." Do we trust God? What has God told us to do that we're not doing? Now, that's a question for us to think about. Because that question is individualized, all of us. Certainly, we understand we're not perfect individuals. We understand that we all fall short. Is there something that God has written, clearly written, put in His inspired Word, written down for us to read over and over again? Is there something that He's written down that we're not doing? And if we're not doing it, perhaps there's a question we have to ask ourselves. Do we trust God? In God we trust. The church at Thessalonica, they trusted God. And because they trusted God, they were doing, and Paul said, "I think you will do that which God has commanded because you trust God." Do we trust the Lord? You know, our trust is expressed through obedience, right? They talk is key, is it not? "Oh, I trust God, I trust God, I trust God, but I'm not going to do that which He said." Well, if God said to do it, then why aren't we doing it? We have to ask ourselves those questions, and we have to evaluate ourselves, and we all have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, "What did God tell me to do? And am I doing it?" And if I'm not doing it, perhaps it's a trust issue. I got a little further down in my notes, but I think it's a good point perhaps to bring it up, is that I think we do have trust issues. Because I think the world teaches us that. The world's not really that reliable, but you know what God is? Those things which God has laid forth are reliable, they're good. And certainly when we look at our faith and we look at being obedient to God, there's trust in that component. I think of James chapter 2 and verse 24. It says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Where is justification? It says, "You see that a man is justified by works." We understand that faith has action associated with it. We hear what God says and we act. And the question is if we're not acting, then what's going on? And I would suggest perhaps it's a trust issue. If we trust God in hard times, I believe that one of those things that we might do is pray. If we trust God when it comes to being obedient, we're going to do those things which He has commanded us. But do we trust God? In God we trust. We've looked at a couple areas. Let's conclude with our third area. If we looked at trusting God in hard times, trusting God when it comes to obedience and following His commands. Let's look at verse 5. It says, "May the Lord direct your heart to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." Now, I've read that a couple times. And like I said, I'm not perfect, and I'm not saying you have to come to the same thought process that I do. But it says, "May the Lord direct your heart to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." When I think about God directing me and God taking me places, you know what I think about? I think about growth. Because God will take you places that you never intended on going. God will have you do things that you never intended on going. God directs us. And you think about that idea. The church at Thessalonica, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, may the Lord direct your heart. Guess what? If God is going to direct our heart, if he's going to direct us in any way, you know what that takes? That takes a little trust. You know, if I blindfolded you tonight, and I said, I'm going to give you directions to get out of this building, somebody would be like, I don't know if I trust you, Kyle. But hopefully you say you trust me. You know, when we're going through life, God wants us to trust him. And God is going to take you places that you didn't intend to go for his cause. When you trust God to direct your steps. You think the Bible talks about that in other places. He says, may the Lord direct your heart to the love of God. He says, I mean, direct, that's a powerful word. Direct means that God is going to give some input. God is going to give some suggestion. God is going to give some information. Where is God going to take you? He says, God is going to direct you. If God's going to direct you, you're going to have to trust God. In fact, that's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Wait, trust and directing your path are connected? Yes, they are. They're connected. And where is God going to lead you? I don't know if people think of Christianity this way, but isn't Christianity just constant development and work on ourselves? Because who are we following? We're following Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20-22. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, then it is commendable before God. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Isn't Christianity, the large part of it, following Jesus Christ? And you know where Jesus Christ leads? To perfection. And we understand that we're not going to reach perfection. But when we understand that we are pursuing Jesus Christ in his steps, and we realize that we're following perfection, and we're never going to quite reach that, if we understand that every day of life we have a chance to grow. Every day of life we have a chance to grow. Christianity, I don't think we can check out on it. Say, hey, I got to the stage. It's time for me to check out. When we're thinking about Christianity, we're pursuing Jesus. We're following his steps. And we know that we'll never reach perfection. We understand we need his forgiveness and all those things. But we also acknowledging that, it's that there's always room for progress. There's never a time that we can say, I follow Jesus to the point that, you can still do a little better. When he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he said, may the Lord direct your heart. Is God directing you? Is God directing you to the next page of your book? And I've said this before, I think a lot of times we'll shut the book on our life pretty soon and pretty early. We say, you know what? I've done it, Lord. You see where I started, Lord, and see where you took me, and look at what I've done. You've taken me, Lord. Look how far I've gone. It's time for me to close the book. Is that what God tells us to do? Follow the steps of Jesus. If we follow the steps of Jesus, that is not a task that we're going to complete in terms of we are going to always have a chance at progress, always have a chance to be better. You know, I'm a better person when I combat pride and insecurity and I work towards humility. I'm a better person when I try to work on my anxiety and work on my depression and try to get to the peace which the Bible describes. Couldn't each day we try to work to be a more peaceful person? Couldn't each day we work to be a more humble person? Couldn't each day we work to... We all struggle with different things. You know, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that struggle with pride. There's no doubt about that. We got brothers and sisters in Christ that struggle with insecurity. Where's the Bible middle? Humility. That's where it's at. Humility. If I can do things with God's help. Someone's over here struggling. Someone's over here struggling. And each day we try to work to what? Jesus and his humility. We all have anxieties in this life. There's some days in this life where we're extremely down on ourselves. And you know what? We have brothers and sisters in Christ that are deep on this side and deep on this side. But what's our goal as we go throughout our life is try to work to the peace which Jesus described. We can all be a little bit better. But the question is will you let God direct your heart? will you let God direct your steps? Do you trust God with the issues of this life? The world really does teach us to have trust issues. The world is not consistent, but the Bible and the God we serve is consistent. I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." I trust the God of all comfort. I trust God when it comes to the hard times in my life. I trust God when it comes to obedience. I trust God when it comes to growth. And if you don't trust God in these times, you realize how close you are to a very dangerous spot. Because we think about our first point just for a minute when we think about praying for that we trust in God in hard times. There's a thin line between endurance and giving up. What keeps the Christian going? I trust God, I'm going with endurance. But somebody who doesn't trust God might easily go with give up. You think about our second point, obedience. You think about obedience and disobedience. What a thin line that is sometimes. What does it come down to and boil down to? Do you trust God? Did Joshua trust God when God said, "Hey, walk around these walls of Jericho"? Well, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, God. He trusted God. He said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to do what God said, and I'm going to obey." Just as we see all those other individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, and certainly throughout the Bible, there's a thin line between obedience and disobedience, and sometimes it boils down to trust. And when it comes down to growth in your Christian life, I think Satan wants us to stagnate. We're trying to pursue Jesus Christ. We're trying to follow His example. We're trying to get a little better each and every day. We all start at different places. We don't all struggle with the same thing. We all have different weaknesses, different struggles. We all do. But we're trying to get a little bit better each day. You know what Satan tried to say? Just stagnate. You're fine where you are. Don't move any farther. You don't need to grow anymore. Okay? Well, God's not going to tell you that. God wants to direct your heart. He wants to direct your path. But the question is, do you trust God to do that? See, there's a thin line between growth and stagnation. And you know what it boils down to a lot of times? Trust. Do you trust God to help direct the next step? Do you trust God to help you with the next trial, tribulation, struggle of life? Perhaps it's not what you see when you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 there. But when I read that, I just started thinking of how much trust there is in God. Trust when it comes to hard times. Trust when it comes to being obedient. Trust when it comes to growing in the Christian life. Do we trust God to direct our steps? Do we trust God when He tells us to do something? Do we trust God when the trials come in our lives? You know, as we conclude and we think about individuals becoming Christians, I don't know if there's too many examples that become ever so clear. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? And they will tell you all kinds of things, won't they? What we see in Acts and following, we see these individuals, they're hearing what's being said and they're being baptized for the remission of their sins. In fact, that's almost exactly what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, when you see that in the Bible, you've got a question to ask. Would you be baptized for the remission of your sins? And if you would not be baptized for the remission of your sins, you've got a question to ask. Do you trust God? I don't have all the answers to this life. I don't. I don't have all the answers. I never will. But when I see that God says to do something, I have to ask myself, do I trust God enough to do it? Do you trust God? A lot of people run around and say they trust God. But when the hard times come, do you go to God in prayer? Do you trust Him enough to do that? When you think about some of these other things, when you think about obedience, when you see something that God says in Scripture, do you trust Him enough to do it? When it comes to your life and growth and trying to be the best Christian that you can be, do you trust God to direct your next step? And your next one, and your next one. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this evening. If you come, as we stand and as we sing.